check out what people are saying about the Optimistic Divorcees podcast.
Hi, my name is Conceding, and I absolutely love listening to the Optimistic Divorcees. Shari and Cherise, hilarious, energetic, and their chemistry is undeniable. I am very, very single, never been married, so of course I've never been divorced. However, I feel like I can relate to every single episode. It's a conversation piece that everyone can join in on. Please make sure you listen, make sure you tune in. You don't want to miss this. It's like being in a room with old friends. Congratulations, ladies. Enjoy.
Hello, this is Kenesha from Milwaukee, and I love the Optimistic Divorcees podcast. It has helped me through my own divorce, and it continues to help me as I navigate life after divorce and dating and all that comes with it. I've shared some of the episodes with friends who are not married and therefore not divorced, and they enjoy the episodes as well. So there really is something for everyone. I have really enjoyed listening to the stories. They have helped me in knowing that I am not alone. And they've also helped me in knowing that love and marriage, again, is definitely possible. So if you're not listening to the ODs podcast, you are truly playing yourself. And I'm sure that's not what you want to do. So be sure to tune in on Mondays and take a listen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's brand new episode. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in, guys, to another episode of the Optimistic Divorcees. I'm Shari, that's Cherise. Let's just jump
Hello! Right
we're two, you know, happily divorced women, yada, yada, yada. I'm glad you're here.
I'm so okay. Dead right now.
We kick off every episode with the segment titled I Do, I'm Done. In this segment, we talk about what we like, what we're feeling, we're saying I do too. If we don't like it, if we're not feeling it, we're saying I'm done. I'm starting it off today with an I do. And Cherise thinks that she knows what my I do is, which is why I was laughing when we first started. We did not mention anything, so we're going to see if she was right. So I am saying, and wait, let me just say this. Most times, if I have a hunch or she has a hunch, we are typically right about our hunches. So we're going to see if you're right this time, Cherise.
Okay.
So my I do is the post that Cherise posted.
Yeah.
Was that it?
No, it wasn't. I was wrong.
Okay. All right. Yes. So I am saying I do to this Christmas or holiday memory that should be every year.
It's my favorite.
It's actually my favorite too because it is hilarious.
Oh my God. We so ignorant.
I know. I'm laughing already just because it is so funny just even thinking about it. Okay. So if you don't follow Cherise, then you have not seen the post and the caption. And the caption had me cracking up. So what had happened was a few years ago, Cherise and I, we were going to this church. And they had this contest where, you know, all the families, you know, friends or whatever in the church, or even if you were just single, you could go and take a picture in front of this backdrop. And what you had to do was post the picture on your social media, particularly Facebook, and you had to get your family, friends, your Facebook peeps to like the picture. And if you if your picture received the most likes, then you would win a $100 gift card.
Yes.
Was it the following Sunday?
I think so, yeah. Because okay. I think voting was like for a week, yeah.
Yes. So, of course, you know, me and Cherise, we like to win. You know, we like pictures. So we're like, okay,
exactly.
Cool. Let's go. We like social media. Let's go take this picture. So we go, we take the picture. And all week long, we're promoting it on our Facebook, like, hey, you know, like this picture, share this picture, get your friends and your family.
Tell your friends to get with our friends.
and like this picture.
Right.
So fast forward, you know, we're getting our likes and the stuff, you know, we're getting our comments, we're getting our shares. Sunday rolls around. Lo and behold, Sharice and I, we end up winning the gift card. So, of course, you know, we're super excited, right?
Yes.
So, in the church service comes, and I think, did we already have these plans, or was it random? I think it was random.
I think we said if we won, this is what we were going to do.
Okay. So, we basically said we were going to go to Papa Do's with our winnings, okay? And that's exactly what we did.
Baby.
We ordered all the things for that $100. And when I said, actually, I think we had to put like a couple extra dollars with it. So we maxed that $100 out, okay?
After maxed it out.
Things, our dessert, our meal. Like, so, I know we went over that $100. We did.
Look. Well, Service was over at 1:30. Was at Papa Do at 2:00. Oh boy!
We spent that $100 in a matter of minutes. That's not the worst part.
But wait, there's more.
So then, the following Sunday, you know, they're talking about the people who won the gift cards and everything. And then they like, you know, we have a special, basically like a special shout out that they want to, you know, have an honorable mention to somebody that won another service. They also won a $100 gift card.
Baby, they started showing this video. With the music.
Unlike the heathens that Sharice and I are, this woman with her $100 gift card, she took her talents. She didn't bring it in Papa Do's. Not bury her talents in Papa Do's. She took her talents and she multiplied it. You know how? She went to the grocery store and she bought groceries for people.
Yes.
Meanwhile, me and Sharice gluttonous sales, we made $800.
Bellies full.
Nobody but ourselves. But it was a Merry Christmas.
Our bellies were full. We were grateful.
And we were grateful and we were thankful.
Yeah, we won fair and square. Yeah. And what's so funny is $100 isn't a whole lot, but when you think about it, it was just the two. Well, we ended up going with people, but it was just the two of us spending the $100 on a lunchtime at Papa Do's on a Sunday. So there's really no, we should have had money left over. There's really no way we should have spent.
No, we should not have had money left at Papa Do's.
For our lunchtime, you know they have the lunch menu. Oh,
that's why I said we got all the things. We were like, $200, we about to ball out. Let me get a drink, let me get an appetizer, and I want my meal, and
dessert.
Do we have enough to get our own dessert? No? Okay, let's split a dessert. And just like that.
Oh, boy. We ain't put no gas in the car, nothing, Jesus.
Hey, but we had gas money, though, because we were sitting on Papa Do's. Right. And to all a good night.
Oh, my God. Every year, I see that memory and I crack up.
And every year, I see the memory when you post it and I crack up.
And the fact that we had everybody voting and sharing, it was other people sharing and vote for my friends. They're trying to win, baby.
You would have thought we were winning $1,000.
Exactly. Boy, that's good times. Good times.
Good times indeed. Like and I said, it was a Merry Christmas.
And we didn't stay at that church too much longer after that.
Right. Because, I mean, really, it was a white church and we needed to be with black folks. Now, this is going to sound, I ain't going to even say it. Never mind.
Oh, man. Say it. Brandon can take it out.
I was going to say, you know, that's one of the perks of going to white church. They give $100 gift cards on Sunday.
Keep that in. Keep that in.
You ain't getting that at black church. They want you. They're not giving you money.
Okay. Black church might give you some. On Christmas, they give you a bag of fruit. Remember you used to get an orange, an apple, and a candy stick?
And if you're lucky, some walnuts.
Yes.
Ain't got no nutcracker.
I was about to say, I don't even have a nutcracker. Cracking my teeth up trying to get in these pecans and walnuts.
These old bitter nuts. They weren't even good nuts. Not like, no cashews, no almonds.
Not even no honey roasted peanuts.
Not even.
Oh, oh my God. Man. Now that I've gotten a good laugh out of that. And it's so funny. How did all black people grow up the same? How did we all have that bag with an orange, an apple, and nuts and a candy cane? Oh, boy.
That little curly ribbon around it. Which one you want, red or green?
That they did, you know, with the scissor?
They would put it in a lunch bag.
Paper bag? Yes! Yes! Oh my God, yes.
Good times.
We went from that to $100 gift cards.
Hey, can you imagine how many apples, oranges, nuts, and candy canes we could have did with that $100?
Oh, we could have fed a block.
We could have fed a block, but no.
Whew. Oh, my God. That was good.
You know that what else I was laughing about? Like, the way we looked at each other when they showed that ladies' video.
Right. We both instantly felt like trash. Like, oh, my God. Like, helping somebody else didn't even cross our mind.
Think about that.
Oh, hungry butts. And if you look at the picture, I didn't need to be going to Papa Do's. I'm looking at that picture like, whoa, Nelly. I should have been going buying some salads.
The apples and oranges, huh? Yes,
I needed. Yeah, exactly. I needed the apples and oranges. Oh my God, that was good, Shari. That was a good one. What I'm saying I do to is, I'm saying I do to Nick Cannon. I really like him, right? Mm-hmm. You know, over the years, people have said how corny and stuff he is, but I really admire the things that he has done. Mm-hmm. As far as starting at Nickelodeon and, you know, doing things there and being in leadership, ending up in leadership there and, mm-hmm. you know, movies. And I think Wildin' Out is such a great idea. Like a hip hop Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yep.
It's funny. It's creative. He may not have had good albums, but he do good in that freestyle on Wildin' Out. He's put a lot of people on through that show. They've gotten a lot of opportunities. Now he's on his little talk show. I know I said his little talk show, but he's doing. I haven't watched it, but I always see the clips on Instagram, and it seems like he has great guests. It seems like a fun show. He seems like a good host. And recently he lost his youngest child at 5 months due to to brain cancer, right? That was mm-hmm. it. Yep. And he's still been doing his show every day. And it's just really encouraging to watch him still work and go through that. And still, he still has his feelings. He's, you know, mm-hmm. he's still going through, but he's still doing what he can to put a smile on other people's faces and just keep going. And I believe that people are being encouraged just by watching him do that. And then he's just such a good sport. When it comes, like, this lady came on his show, she had on this outfit that she made. So she's like, I'm gonna make you one. So she made him like this red satiny looking outfit. It was like a three-piece shirt, pants that didn't even come all the way up his butt, and and a tie. And she got to go backstage with him and take pictures, and then they went out on the street and they were just acting silly, taking pictures. And she talked about, I could be your new baby mama.
Oh my God, what did he say?
And he just kind of laughed it off, and he was like, because girl, I'm fertile. And I really like Nick Cannon. He seems like a cool guy. He has a Christmas, you know, I love the Christmas movies. He has a Christmas movie that I think airs the day that this airs, with Karen Clark Sheard. Kiara is in it.
I think I saw the I thought I saw some kind of commercial about a Christmas movie by Karen Clark Sheard, but I didn't recall seeing Nick Cannon in it. I didn't know that he was in it.
Yeah, let me see what it's. I want to say it's his movie. It's going to be on VH1. Yeah. Okay, so VH1.
This is a different one then, because I think Karen Clark Sheard also has a Christmas movie or something that she's doing. And it's like on Lifetime or OWN or something like that. I don't remember. I recently saw the commercial for it, so that's what I thought you were talking about. But this is different. Okay.
All right. Go ahead, Karen Clark. So yeah, that's my I do for this week, and I'll tell you more about that when we're done.
Okay, then. But no, you know, I agree with what you said. Like, I was listening to the Today Show podcast, and he was on this week, and he was talking to Hoda Kotb or whatever, and she was just talking about, like, you know, how difficult that had to be for him to share that and what made him decide to share. And he was just saying how you know, he was scared to share because people are so used to him being the one, kind of like you said, Sheree's, like being like the happy person, and you know, and so he was afraid to share what was going on, but he was glad that he did, and that he was hoping that it would help someone else.
Yeah,
might be going through the same thing. And you know, Hoda asked, like, how are you, you know, how are you doing? And he said, you know what, I'm taking a word from my therapist. And basically he said, I'm taking it 5 minutes at a time.
I know that's right, man. Not even a day, five minutes at a time.
And I just like the fact that he did decide to share, you know, what was going on with him, because it makes him relatable even more so, and real. And, you know, it just lets us know, like, everybody experiences pain and loss and grief. And regardless of the financial bracket you're in, we still have the same feelings. We still, you know, go through the same types of experiences. So, I agree with you. I appreciate him even more because of that. So
it totally humanized him, because, you know, many times we look at stars, at movie stars and TV stars, like they're some kind of otherworldly creature that just can't be touched. So yeah, it was really cool for him to share that. God bless him.
God bless him for real, and his baby mama. I can't even imagine, like, what she's dealing with, you know.
So, I can't. That is since watching my mother go through that and the loss of my brother, has always been a prayer of mine that I not have to witness anybody close to me go through that, or even myself go through that. So that's definitely a prayer of mine. So God bless all the parents and their children, and you know,
yeah,
moving right along.
I know, we started off so happy. Became so solemn. But I mean, hey, such is life, right?
Yeah. It's
the highs and the lows, the happiness and the sadness. But
yeah.
When we come back, we are going to have a special guest. And we'll get a few laughs with her, I'm sure. So stay tuned.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the Optimistic Divorcees Podcast. If you have topic suggestions or would like to be a guest, send us an email at theoptimisticdivorceespodcast@gmail.com. And if you're not already, make sure to follow us online at The Opt Divorcees on Instagram and The Optimistic Divorcees on Facebook. To sign up for our email list, use the link in our Instagram bio or check out the show notes.
We are back with our special guest, just like we promised. And this week, we have our friend Brittany.
Hi.
Hey, girl.
Oh, hey.
And so, you know, if you have been following Sharice and I for a while, you will know that we had a blog back in the day. And Brittany was actually one of our contributors on the blog, and she shared, you know, her story about being divorced. And I think at the time she was dating someone, but we will get into that a little bit later.
Stay tuned.
For now, we're going to jump right on in. Brittany, girl, just introduce yourself, say a quick hello, let the people know a little bit about you.
Hey, y'all. So it's me, Brittany B. I currently live in the DMV. I live in Maryland proper. I'm an esthetician, so I do facial, skincare, waxing, everything beauty industry. I've been doing that my entire career for about 15 years or so. I love it. I love making women, people, humans feel special and beautiful. Diehard Beyonce fan, very much so. Beehive, very much, very much so a part of who I am. You guys don't have to laugh.
So true, so true. Because we know it to be true.
Yes, it is very true. But I'm originally from Chicago. I'm a Chi-Town girl at heart. Been in the DMV. Well, we'll talk about how I got to the DMV, actually.
Oh, yes. let's go ahead and jump right on in.
Get on to it.
Start it off. So, Brittany, thanks for introducing yourself, girl.
Of course.
let's go down memory lane. And I want you to share.
Open up those traumas? Sure.
Open up the book of traumas. It's a hard copy. It's a big one. We've all experienced it. We have our own copies.
Right. It's like the 800,000th edition.
You know?
But yeah, so a little bit just about my backstory. I feel like for me, I'm a little bit different because I was a young divorcee. Mm-hmm. So I was a child bride. I got married when I was 19 to my high school sweetheart. We got married because we like loved each other, air quotes. And then he was going to the military, the Air Force. And you know how it is. We're living in a small town. I was living in Louisiana at the time. I had a stint there. I was living in Louisiana at the time. I was like, we're not going to leave me in the small town all by myself. After my mother had passed away. So my mom passed away when I was 18. She was 46. She had ovarian cancer. And I very much so was a caretaker for her during my senior year of high school. So with that all being said, mother just passed away. Brother had to go move with my father. Now the love of my life is leaving me to be, you know, go to the Air Force and be deployed, shipped out somewhere.
Yeah.
So looking back on it, I do realize that I feel like we were we were bonded in trauma, and and the marriage kind of what what brought us together because of the trauma that he knew my mother, his mom and my mom were great girlfriends. So it was a big loss for him as well. So that's what brought me to the DMV. He got stationed here. And we just started living our life, working, and he was working, I was kind of floating through life, you know. looking back on it, I could see how that was another kind of like hiccup in it. But I was 20 years old. Like, that's what we're supposed to do. But when your husband's in the military and he was deployed about 3-4 times during our marriage, it was very much so in the war of Iraq, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009. So there was a lot involved with our marriage that young people really, it's a lot when I think about it, that's a lot to go through.
It really is.
So he's from small town. He started to make more money that he started to make. I feel like got kind of blinded by the big lights of the city, and then just, you know, different infidelities and untruths in our relationship just started to happen and unfold. That's why you don't get married at 19, 20 years old, because you aren't the same person at 19 and 20 than you are at 24, 25. You want different things. We have to go through different life processes. And I think because, I mean, that's what your 20s are for, right?
Yeah. It's all about figuring yourself out. Right. I mean, you're doing like, that throughout your life, but that really is the part where it's just like, okay, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And having fun, like you said.
Right, having fun. Like, sow your royal oats, right? Mm-hmm. Like, go out, explore new people, meet new things. Like, we shouldn't be in such a monogamous type of relationship at that age, because we are very much so figuring out who we are and what we like and don't like and who we want to be with and
who we want to be
and who we want to be as people. Right. Mm-hmm. And that was a big part of for me as well. So he sent me an email when he was on deployment that he wanted to get a divorce. We had already been having
he told you via email.
Well, we had been having the conversation that the marriage, like, what are we gonna do?
But I know they had video calls back then,
right? They had Skype.
You're
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Call me. Don't send.
No, y'all. He wasn't like Baghdad somewhere. But still, they did have Skype. We did have phone conversations every once in a while. Mm-hmm. So he sent me an email basically just like, when I come back, I want to be done with this. Like, I think we should move forward with divorce, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So of course I was devastated. Then literally like 2 weeks later, he surprised me, surprised me home and, had a great time. We went to lunch, stuff like that. And then he like goes, gets dressed and like packs a bag and like leaves. I'm like, where are you going? You've just been gone for like 6 months, you know? And he was like, I'm out. I'm leaving. I'm going to hang out with my friends. I was like, but you need to bring like a bag with you. And then that was then chaos and confusion unfolded after that. And I'll just leave it at that. But that was the moment where I was like, this person does not love you anymore. Not even love. Wow. He does not respect you as his wife anymore, you know? And so for me, I'm thankful for my mom, for how I handle my divorce, because when her and my dad split, they had a barbecue restaurant together. They had a home. They were doing very well. And she left with like nothing. She packed her kids up. We were living in Texas at the time. She packed her kids up and went back home to Chicago. You know what I mean? And kind of restarted and rebuilt it herself, because she was just like, it wasn't worth the headache. It wasn't worth going through. And a lot of people were like, you need to turn him into his commander, get him in trouble. I was like, what is ruining his career truly gonna get me at the end of the day?
Yeah.
You know? So we made our own arrangements and stuff like that. Or deals, however you wanna see it, in order for me not to do that, and then proceeded with the divorce. My dad, of course, wanted to swoop me up and move me back to good old Paducah, Kentucky, Shari.
Oh, Paducah.
And at that point,
just side note for the listeners, Shari and Britt are kind of related a little bit. So that's why they're laughing at Paducah.
Yeah, we have a weird cousin kinship relation. It's really interesting.
Exactly. Listen, I look at Brittany as my cousin, not cousin.
Truly. That's right. The point we are.
For real.
And I feel like Brittany is my cousin.
I was about to say, actually, we're all actually related. Yes. So. Hey, cousins. So, of course, my dad wanted to pack me up and bring me back home with him and stuff. And I was like, no, Dad, like, I'm already working. By that point, I had became an esthetician. Thank you, United States government, for paying for me to go to beauty school. That was something that I did do while we were together, during deployments. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Went to the Aveda Institute.
You figured out what you wanted to do?
Yeah.
Just took me a little bit of time.
Yeah, it just took you a little bit.
And I think, obviously, when you're in the military, you know what I mean? Your life and your career is like, boom, handed right to you. So he's looking at me like, what are you? What are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. I'm blowing all this money that you're making on deployments right now. I don't know what I'm doing. You know what I mean? And I feel like if I had a little bit more space and time to truly figure that out, we could have navigated things a little bit differently. The person that he ended up being with was the person he had the infidelities with me. And they were already, this person, she already was established in her career. She's a little bit older. So I feel like he saw some type of stability, you know, in her. But they're actually still married. They have two kids. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So even for me, I'm like, well, maybe they were supposed to be together. Like, who knows? You know what I mean? Like, at this point in time, it's been, so we got divorced when I was 25, 26, 35 now. So it's been about 9, going around 10 years. I think it'll be 10 years, probably around the age of 36. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting. So actually, the blog post, so when I first wrote the blog with you guys years ago, he actually called me. And that was the first time that he truly, like, apologized, like, for his actions and, like, what he did. And how he went about doing everything. And he was just like, you know, seeing it on paper, was like, dang, he was like, you did not deserve all of that. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm thankful that we have had that type of reconciliation in that aspect. And we just are moving forward and living with our lives. And it's not something that I hold a grudge or for about, because I mean, it honestly feels like another lifetime ago.
That's exactly how it feels.
It feels like a whole, and at the time I thought it was going to be like the end of the world, you know what I mean? Oh. And like, I'll never love again. No one will ever love again.
Right.
Yeah. So that's pretty much it as far as like our divorce story and stuff like that. And again, I'm just thankful that my mom was always just a very strong woman. And proactive woman. I wouldn't say strong, but just proactive, you know what I mean? And just like living her best life, making sure her children had what they needed. And it was a good example for me to truly know that I'm not so independent where I'm like, I don't need a man, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it made me be like, okay, I can go through this life without
him. Yeah.
During that time, at least.
Yeah.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night. I'm Dana, aka DanaMike781, across the social medias, and I am here to tell you about my podcast that is currently streaming on your favorite listening platform. It's called This Should Be in a Book. People often tell me that the things I say should be in a book, but I didn't want to write a book. So I decided to release my knowledge podcast style. New episodes are available every Monday, and you'll be able to listen to my insight on this thing called life, 3 points into poem style. Minus the poem. So after you finish listening to this podcast, head on over to This Should Be in a Book to listen and subscribe. Hope you enjoy.
And that's a good point that you make when you are in the thick of it. You're like, oh my God, how am I going to make it? It's the end of the world as I know it. Mm-hmm. Then you look back like, oh.
I'm fine. I'm fine. Right. Literally, it's like, dear God, I'm here.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. You're like, I made it to the other side.
I made it to the other side.
Really. And too, I think the name of my blog post was like, I am damaged goods or something like that. Like, yeah. At the time, I was very, like, my confidence was just, like, no one's ever going to want to be with me. No one's ever going to love me. Or they're not going to think that I'm, like, marriage material because, oh, well, she's already been there, done that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, she can't be married. She can't be in a relationship. But dating now at 34, 35, when I tell people I've been divorced, they're like, oh, okay, cool. Like, if anything, I feel like it takes the pressure off. Because guys, especially at my age, a lot of women are trying to get married, have the baby in like 3 years. You know what I mean? But me, I'm chilling. Like, I've been there, done that. I know how much work marriage is. And I don't know, for whatever reason, when you sign that piece of paper and do that little exchanging of the rings, I feel like, you know, in Freaky Friday, when they like break open the fortune cookie and like the energies transpire, I feel like something like that happens when you get married. Like, I don't know what changes. So what transpires, but something freaking weird happens.
Something happens.
Something happens. Like,
that's hilarious.
That's the only thing I can equate it to, is like Freaky Friday, Lindsay Lohan edition. Hello, yes, I am a millennial. But but yeah, it just, now going through it, marriage, when I'm dating, I'm not pressed. And I know what I'm looking for, I think, kind of, maybe, you know?
You do. Okay, before we get there,
okay, sorry, I'm jumping ahead.
Now, you kind of mentioned how your experience affected your self-esteem and how you felt about yourself, but how else did it impact your view on love and relationships?
Well, I think that through lots of therapy, made me realize, definitely have had to do some sense of therapy. It made me realize, as far as the codependency of it all, I'm a very codependent, was, am, can be a very codependent person. Attachment, whether it's friendships, generally friendships, because I value friendships. I have a lot of friends. My friends are what really got me through my transition of my divorce, because here in the DMV, I don't have any family. It's literally just me here by myself, not even an auntie or a cousin or nothing. So my girlfriends really became my family during that time. But then I started to have these like toxic friendships, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That were very codependent, very one-sided. Either I needed them for something or they needed me for something. And I think going through this process and going through therapy, attachment as far as like losing people, grief in all ways, shapes, and forms. Grief isn't just death. You can grieve a relationship. You can grieve a friend. You can grieve a friend that's still alive. You can grieve a marriage. You know what I mean? So really kind of understanding grief and attachment, and like, it's okay to be by yourself. At least that's what they tell us to think, right? And then as far as like my confidence, like, thankfully I am a confident person, just who I am naturally, you know?
Yes, Libra.
Gang, gang, gang. So Flip's hair. You know, so she knows she's cute, you know what I'm saying? So I didn't really have a problem with that. But it's like, okay, but will anyone see me as a viable partner, right? And being still single, sometimes I do sit there and was like, well, damn, is she a viable partner? But when I think about, some other previous relationships that I've had in between my ex-husband and now, generally speaking, it has honestly been the other person. And then when I moved to Colorado, I call my Colorado life sabbatical. So for the audience, I moved there in January 2019. My brother and his family, they live out there. He has four children. That's why I don't have any. He has 4 children and a wife, and they needed some support. They needed some extra hands. I was kind of getting burnt out of the city. And so I said, let me go. I hadn't lived with my brother since we were 18, since my mom had passed away. So I really wanted to kind of rebuild that relationship between my brother and I, which I did. He really became my best friend because he was my only friend out there. And so living in Colorado where nobody knew who I was, and it's very small town USA, everybody's been going to high school or they've known each other since elementary. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I was like the odd person in. So I had a lot of time for myself with myself. And I had some really unsettling moments. I had a whole Britney Spears moment where I like did the whole cut my hair, had my brother shave my head in the backyard. Mm. I couldn't find a black person out there to do my hair. Secondly, I just needed that cathartic kind of cleansing, refresh right. of life experience. So being in Colorado really is what set it in. And it prepared me for quarantine too, because I was there when COVID hit.
Yeah.
So I was already by myself. I wasn't doing anything, wasn't hanging out, but it was beautiful. Now I'm an outdoor adventureland girl. I love, you know, camping and fishing and hiking. And I used a lot of my time out there to really explore the great outdoors. And if you've never been out west, like, you really need to go out west. Like, God lives there. You can't tell me there is not a God when you don't look up at the majestic mountains and the sky. Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful for that experience. That really taught me how to, it's okay to be by myself. And even now, back in the DMV, I moved back to Maryland in August 2020. So I was only out there for about a year and a half or so. I'm okay with being by myself for the most part. Like, yeah, I've been going out with my girlfriends and linking up, but I do have moments where I just want to be home and just decompress. And I deal with the public all day long with my job. And that can be very energy draining because people are going through so much right now with COVID emotionally. I appreciate those moments alone now and recharges, and I can go to the movies by myself. I can go eat by myself. Like, those are really big steps.
Don't it feel good, girl?
It does. Next, I want to go take a vacation by myself. That's something I want to do, you know, in 2022, 2023. but yeah, so I'm much more confident with being with Brittany now. Post my
That's awesome.
And not being in like a serial relationshiper.
Yeah, I think that's like the beauty, you know, of, like you said, one, having been married and knowing all the work that goes into it and, you know, seeing like, you know what, I'm good with just kind of not having the pressure on myself or anybody else that I'm dating and just kind of, you know, going with the flow. And then like, that's awesome that you were able to go and spend some time in Colorado and like really find other pieces of yourself, things that you didn't know about yourself that, you know, you learn like, oh man, I really like this. I like fishing. I like being outdoors. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's cool.
Because in the city you just eat and drink. You know?
And that is what you do in the city.
That's what you do. Like, you just go out to eat, you go have a couple of drinks afterwards, and you go home. Me and my friends, we have been trying to do a lot more structural activities like painting. We're doing like a vision board manifestation party for New Year's.
All the things that I try to do with Sharice and she hates.
Oh, come on, Sharice.
You didn't do it, absolutely sister. Just name two of the things that I really hate.
Just don't take the pressure off. You're just girlfriends hanging out, and if you draw something on the paint, if you put something on the canvas, great. If you don't, that's okay too.
I mean, you know, I'll go. I went, Sherry. I'll go. But yeah,
she complained about it. We're doing this in the house, though. We're doing this at home.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah, go to Five and Below, get some canvases and some paint.
And some drinks.
Boom. Period. Night in.
I like the sip part of the sipping paint.
Mostly sipping. Very little to know. Like I said, dots and lines, baby. Dots and lines.
True. Oh, my God.
Tune in to the Faith Over Everything podcast, which covers literally everything, whether it's pop culture, religion, politics, relationships, fashion and beauty, entertainment, Black culture. We are talking about it all. Tune in every Wednesday for a new episode available for your listening pleasure on Apple, Spotify, Anchor, you name it. Also, feel free to follow us on the following pages. Instagram is faithovereverything_podcast, or on Facebook, the page is Faith Over Everything. Thank you for tuning in.
So let's talk about, you know, Brittany right now. What's happening on the dating scene? Are you dating anyone special? Mm-hmm. Or are you good with being like, no, it's just me and I'm fine with that?
What's tea? Yeah. What's tea?
So I was in a relationship. So the person that y'all were talking about earlier, that I was in the relationship with, that ended maybe about 3-4 years ago, about three-ish years ago. Again, kind of knowing what you want. We have been dating for about 2-2.5 years. And I think as of knowing what you want, a big part of marriage is, what is the word? Compromise. And if you notice, people are rigid and very stuck in their ways, and they can't bend, they can't break, they can't get outside of their mold, their box, even not changing who they are, but just, it's about compromise, right? Like, you're not always going to do what you want to do. You're not always going to do what they want to do. Like, there's going to be a lot of times where you're uncomfortable. And when I realized that he just wasn't shifting, and then he wanted to move somewhere that I just didn't want to live. I didn't like the area. I had just started a new job. I was making good money. It was just kind of like, I feel like that 3-year point in a relationship is like, okay, are we in this or not? And we were getting around that. And I was like, I don't think among some other, you know, untruths and, you know, when one thing about having so many friends, they don't know all your friends. And when they match with them on Tinder, your girlfriend, they're like, isn't this so and such? I said, you know, sister, God, this was the nail in the coffin that just needed me to sign, seal, deliver for me to make this. You know what I mean? So everything happens for a reason. Me and him are cool. He actually just saw him actually a couple of days ago. He had held on some totes for me, actually full of my mom's belongings.
And wow.
For like 4 years. Like while I was in Colorado, he had moved and everything else, and he was moving again. He was like, hey, I have these totes. I know you're back, like, if you want to get them. And honestly, and I'll just show, he does have, he was a good person, has good character.
Yeah. Right?
And I was like, you know, the fact that you held on to all this stuff for me, and he has been in relationships and stuff for like 4 years, like, he was like, no, it's all your mom's stuff. He was like, I know how much that means to you, and, you know, stuff like that. So me and him are like, we're cool, you know, but I just feel like at the end of the day, we're just not each other's persons.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No. So now, since then, I have not been in a real serious relationship. So that's about 3-4 years. I have not been with someone. And that was kind of like what I wanted in a sense, because I don't like it. I feel like when girls get into one after relationship after another, clearly that's a big red flag for yourself, right?
It should be.
Now, I'm not saying I haven't been in like situationships,
you know, right?
But not anything worth truly converting into an actual relationship or marriage. Mm-hmm. But now, I'm 35. I do want to get married again, right? Mm-hmm. I would like to have a baby. I want to see what it looks like. You know what I mean? I want to see if it's going to be cute or what. Decorated. I mean, dressed in cute outfits.
Decorated.
It's not a puppy. I know it's not a puppy. All my friends are like, it's not a puppy.
Oh my God. That is hilarious.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, I do want that life for myself. Mm-hmm. And I do understand that I do deserve that life for myself. So I've been on Hinge heavy. Probably like 3 months.
Okay.
Like just matching with people, chatting, dating, you know, and that's how it is when you're online dating. 1 week, you got a roster of 6. You know what I'm saying? You just all talking to everybody, blah, blah, blah. Meet up with one, meet up with two, some. And then next week, there's 1.5 hanging on by a thread. And it's not the people that you wanted to actually hang on.
Why, now, Brittany? I have to ask you about this, and I'm asking not for a friend but for myself.
Yes, ma'am.
Let's go back to your previous relationship that you were talking about, the one who held on to your totes.
Okay.
So now he was a white guy.
Oh yeah, he was white, wasn't he?
Yeah, my name. Yes.
That part.
Yes. So okay. Now was that the first time that you had dated a white guy?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
So now he was definitely more on the white chocolate side of things.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I couldn't be with like no straight up for real like Poindexter.
no white.
Yeah, not no Jim from the Office type junk. You know what I'm saying? He was like, he gave like Paul Wall energy.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Because he grew up around all black people. He mostly only dated black women. His best friends were black. Like, he grew up kind of more in the like black suburbs of PG County. So,
okay.
So I think that's what attracted me to him, because generally speaking, that's not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really taught me men are men.
Yeah.
Men are men.
Mm-hmm.
White, black. I mean, granted, he maybe had some type of other ethnic influences, but I know. But at the end of the day, men are men.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're gonna do what they do. They like attention. They need attention, constantly,
mm-hmm.
all day, every day. and if they don't get it, they will seek for it elsewhere.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, they will. And I am a busy person, so that's something too that I'm really busy. I rip and run a lot. I have a lot of different side hustles, a lot of businesses. And so sometimes I may not be able to provide that time, or I work Saturdays, or if I could say I'm getting off at 5, I'm probably leaving at 5:45, 6 mm-hmm. by the time I'm done with my client and cleaning my room and everything like that. You know, so I'm not going to be home at 5 o'clock making your dinner every night. Just because of the nature of my career.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But would I date a white guy again? Probably not.
Oh, okay.
Some of them have been matching with me on, but I think it sounds so crazy to even have to say this. Post Trump and like in today's climate, and white people really showed their tails.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if I could trust them for real, or like trust their family, or like trust, I don't know, like people that you thought were so down and woke and this, and then they would tweet something or post something on Facebook when a shooting would happen, and you'd be like, wait, what? Like, but I thought, even he would say some stuff, my ex, my white ex.
Wow.
He would say stuff, so I'm like, really? Excuse me?
Yeah.
So I just think for me and my blackness that I need to be with like a guy of color.
Yeah. Thanks for saying that, because now I don't know if you know, but I'm in Nashville, and you know it's a whole lot of white people here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like teetering, like, do I want to cross the line? Do
I mean, I wouldn't say it wouldn't hurt to try and to
move. I mean, I said I was gonna try.
I would try. Absolutely.
But my concerns are like what you were saying.
And in Nashville too. I mean, naturally speaking, that's how it was in Colorado. So I did date some white guys when I was in Colorado, just like went out, you know, met up like once, maybe twice, one or two guys.
Yeah.
But when it got down to it, it was like, you know? So in Nashville, you might, hopefully though, is there like a urban side of Nashville? Maybe if you felt
you
like
know it.
Chocolate. Is that East Nashville? I know Nashville a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe if you find a little brother, you know what I'm saying? A little white chocolate on East Nashville.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know if I want one though.
Yeah, you don't want that. But then you see
what a
like,
channel from The Office.
Right. But then you see like Eve, right? With this like billionaire Maximilian.
Yeah, yeah, right.
You know, and Eve is as freaking real and gutter as it gets.
Yeah, like, you're right.
And she shifted her whole life. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I, like I said, it never hurts to try, and I'm glad that I had the experience.
Okay, yeah. Well,
and when the lights go off, it's all the same.
Yeah. If it happens, I'll let you know.
Everybody's yes, please black in the dark.
Yeah, everybody's black in the dark, baby, okay?
That part.
So tell us, do you have any sage advice or words of encouragement for our listeners?
You said some good stuff in between what you were sharing anyway.
Yeah. You have, but any final thoughts?
I would just say, like, still be in love with love. That could be the Libra in me, you know what I mean? But I think people shouldn't, like, give up on love or become, like, I never, and you can ask anybody this, throughout everything, I handled everything with grace, and I was never, like, bitter or sour or held grudges. Because you don't get blessed when your heart and your spirit is cut off and blocked. Because guess what? Whomever you're holding a grudge against or whomever that person was that hurt you, they're not living their best life. They're building a family with the person that they cheated on you with. You know what I'm saying? And buying cars and boats and, you know what I'm saying? Building houses from the ground up. And you just, oh yeah, girl. Oh yeah. Living a nice life.
Wow.
But by me holding a grudge though, all that stuff is still happening.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like if anything, it's just going to further hinder my life and not have me be blessed in some type of way. And really like get some therapy. Like I really thought I was like, okay. And it actually was White Chocolate who was like, you need to go talk to somebody. You know what I mean? And like, yeah, he actually was the person that really like pushed me as far as like my grandmother had passed away when we were together, and he had experienced his mom had died when we were together.
Oh wow. So again,
a trauma bond
with
people when it comes to grief. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I've noticed that's my thing. Even with some of my closest girlfriends, like we trauma bond. I call it the Dead Parents Club. When you trauma bond with people who have had loss, and then sometimes you can get in these negative, vicious, toxic cycles because of the fear of attachment or disattachment or not being with someone, abandonment, I guess. So yeah, he actually was the person who was like, you need to go talk to somebody. And I'm glad that I did. You know, I've probably done a total of about a year and a half, 2 years of therapy throughout my lifetime. And it really has helped me really shift and understand the roots of some of my actions.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, just stay positive and don't hold grudges and get therapy and still love. And you can really have a sustainable, beautiful life post whatever breakup or heartache that you go through.
Yeah.
I really do feel like that. And I know this sounds like very like reading rainbow, but I really think you can still have a beautiful life post a breakup because I've lived it.
Absolutely.
And I have my moments where I'm like, am I going to be alone forever? Like, da da da. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not just walking through my positive daddy. Like,
right.
But no, because I want that for myself. That's why I was like, Brittany, got to get back on the apps. It's the only way to really meet people, especially in a city when you work full time and stuff like that. And I've just been kind of serial dating. And there's one person right now that I'm talking to that he's cool. I like him. We've been talking for about a month now. We've gone out about 3-4 times. And he's pretty nice. So I am one to like plan out the wedding and stuff, but I'm just trying to be like chill, you know, and just see like what happens.
Yeah, go with the flow.
But I'm still dating, but I'm still on the apps though. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm not putting all my eggs in his basket. Not at all. Like I'm absolutely still dating other people. Absolutely.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think everything you said that's what we're about. The optimistic divorcee is like it's perfect.
Like, no, it really is. No, you really have to be optimistic. You can,
you can live an awesome life. You can find love again. That's exactly what we're about. And that was a wonderful way to end this not just this episode, but you're our last guest of 2020.
Oh, snap.
2021.
It's all a blur. It's the same thing. 2021, honestly, cut, copy, paste. Except we're outside a little bit more. We're just outside a little bit more in 2021. That's literally the exact same thing.
Right.
Oh, well, that makes me feel good. Thanks, guys. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, of course.
For being here, we appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having
me. You got some gems. You had us laughing. Had a great story.
Good. I mean, to be real and raw and honest, you know.
And you were. Yeah. Life is only on the way up for you, Brittany.
I pray, girl. I've really been praying on it, and I'm just trying to be patient. And I thought was going to be my other takeaway. Just be patient. I'm 35. Mm-hmm. I still got like six, maybe some childbearing years left. And that's the other thing too. Sometimes we have to reset. Sorry, just to piggyback really fast. Reset your expectations.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Be okay. Like, I'm okay if I don't have a kid, right? Like, honestly, mm-hmm. my heart of hearts. Like, because I don't want to be 42, 43, pregnant. Like, that's hard and expensive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And my brother has a slew where I always tell him, I was like, well, these kids are going to end up hating you and they're going to come live with me. So that's the problem.
There's your kid.
So just be patient. So just be patient and maybe sometimes resetting your expectations.
Yeah, that's great advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was good. So Brittany, go ahead and let people know where you can be found on the socials if you'd like.
Oh, okay. So my personal Instagram is at simplyb86, the letter B. And then if you're in the DMV and need any skincare services, I do mobile facials as well, where nice. I come to your home. Yeah, I had to come up with a pandemic hustle. Okay. Mobile facials, people feel very comfortable. They know that I get tested regularly and I'm not out here in these streets. So they feel comfortable having mm-hmm. someone come to their home to provide that spa experience. So that Instagram is at simplybaesthetics. Simply letter B and then aesthetics.
Nice. I love a girl getting her hustle on.
Yes. And if you're part of the Beehive, go ahead and follow. Okay.
I don't post as much as I used to, guys. She hasn't given us much, but
she loves Beyonce the way I love Usher.
Oh my gosh. That is so cute.
But the thing is, the fact that I have a set of four of these, because random people have given me as gifts, they're at Marshall's. And people buy me these all the time as gifts. I have a whole set of, actually six, I'm sorry. Six.
That's hilarious. Y'all, she just showed us some wine glasses that have a bee on them. But not just a regular bee, like the insect, that has
some
glitterati on it.
Right.
Glitter makes it better.
And as usual, you can follow Shari and I on Instagram. You can follow me at All Natural.
And you can follow me on the socials when you find me. I'm just playing. It'll be in the show notes, guys.
Okay,
keeping it simple.
It'll be in the show notes. Everything will be in the show notes. And until next year, happy holidays, happy new year, Kwanzaa, whatever y'all celebrate. And we'll see you in the new year.
God bless. Good night.
Bye.
All right, guys, so before we go, we have an announcement to make. Charisse, tell them.
Bah, 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 bah. I'm the sound effects. So the announcement is, if you haven't kind of noticed or figured it out, if you're a regular listener, we have decided to go to new episodes every other Monday. Instead of every week, we're going to do every other Monday. I don't think we've decided that whether or not it would be permanent or temporary, but we'll let you know. For now, it's every other Monday. Life is lifing, and we got all kinds of things going on, and we want to keep this going, so we have to go to every other week so we can bring you quality content, but just not as often.
And that's it. We'll see you next week.
After next.
Yeah. See, I'm still getting used to it too. I'm optimistic about life. Real about love. Ooh. See, I've been through it. Hard times in love, I admit it. But I won't quit. You better believe. See, I'll always try.